Oh yeah, we here spinning it. I don't know what episode it is at this point. Look, it's off season right now, and that's the thing. I think there's a misconception on like, hey, it's the off season, you guys must be chilling. No, that is absolutely not the case, man. We're already going hard planning for next year. But you know, here's the thing. We got to keep the show going, and with the draft coming up this week, I thought, what better guest to bring in than the man himself, Emerson Edom, everybody. He really needs no introduction. What's up, Emmer?
What up? I thought you were going to say the man, the myth, the legend. I'm like, whoa. Pump the brakes.
He is the man. He is a myth and clearly a legend. So yeah, take that up.
I'm glad it didn't go that far. I appreciate it. Great intro. So good to be back. I mean,
yeah. How the turntables, by the way, because I think the last time we were on together, I think we flipped the roles. I was on your show even just kind of announcing. Spinning and what's happening.
Yep,
so
yep.
This is great. We're flipping. Thanks for coming on to my show this time.
Our Kim, our solid Kim continues.
Yes, absolutely.
JoJo. Man. And I gotta call it out because you said, hey, you know, why not? The shirt. What do you have a dresser drawer under your cubicle desk, JoJo? Is that where you rotate your shirts for your episodes?
Here's the thing, man. I gotta shout out Emerson for just even recognizing or even remembering that I wore this shirt last time. That just makes me confirm that we're closer than I ever thought, man. You know, like I feel the love there.
I feel like I have a Neuralink brain chip in my head, feeling I can remember anything and everything. And your attire is clearly one of those things I can remember.
Hey man, what do they always say? Always be Brandon. I'm rocking the shirt. South VG is one of their shirts with the logo. I'm rocking Dostal shoes, the Vans from this year. And I got a shout out to you, man, because you're rocking the Native American Heritage hat from this past season, and it looks good, man. A lot of people think like these freebies, like how long do they even last? Like, no, it's standing the test of time. Right.
Stop
now.
Being surprised, JoJo. Stop being surprised. You know I always bring the heat,
yes,
and here it is again with the lid. So I appreciate it, but yes, stop being shocked.
Hey man, we're looking good. Even though we're on the podcast, you know you can watch us on Victory Plus and whatnot. But no matter what, you got to make sure you look good. And speaking of looking good, hopefully you're feeling good in this off season. Hopefully you've been able to kind of make up for lost time a little bit. I mean, it was a busy year. You know, kind of talk about what you've been up to.
Speaking of just feeling good, looking good, it's not even the start of, as you mentioned, this is, we've been in this off season and continue to just be in the trenches, grinding.
Yes.
Each and every day, which is it just feels so good. As you know, we would want to be doing nothing else,
yes.
Right? It's just it's a dream here working with the Ducks. So shout out to the Ducks and just the great people that work here, but just feeling good. I've been eating good.
Oh,
and
you look good, man.
Part of me feeling good is eating good. I'm on a keto diet, but non-dairy keto. So it's like keto.
That means a harder
times
keto,
two.
Right?
It's just it's a harder keto. So, I mean, I just, you know, even if it's Chipotle. Last night, Chipotle, got the bowl. It's double steak.
Double steak.
And then
that's standard, by the way.
I could add either the corn or veggies, but I keep it super simple. Less is more. So I go the double steak. I go the guac.
Okay.
And I got the hottest sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
little
yeah.
Lettuce in there. And that's it.
Don't be asking Emery if he wants queso up in there, right?
No.
No.
Can't be
no,
flaring
no.
up. No, I got to stay. I got to stay clean, and I just feel so focused. I feel unbelievable. I feel supercharged right now.
Do you feel like that's kind of easier to do now that we are kind of in the off season? Let's just say we're in the midst of the season. You're on a 2-week road trip. You think you could be pulling this off there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna continue this. I feel too good.
Yeah,
JoJo. I feel too good. And for multiple reasons, just the inflammation, the energy. I just feel like I'm so alive right now.
Oh. Well, speaking of the off season, I mean, yes, off season for us, but got to get a quick little recap from you on the Stanley Cup final, man. What were the thoughts? It's officially a wrap.
I hate to be this guy, but I predicted correctly. I mean,
hey.
It was Florida in six. I don't get them all right, but when I do, boy, do I nail it. And yeah. I nailed this one. And look, I said it on my show. It's starts with coaching. Well, I should go back even further. It starts with management, ownership, management. And you want to talk about Coach Q coming in here. He laid the foundation of what we've seen here from the Florida Panthers. He was the start of it. And he's going to bring that same mentality here. He did it in Chicago. He did it in Florida. And I just can't wait for that. Cool. So, but I going back to my original point on my show, Florida in six, and it just the coaching, Paul Maurice, he's got those guys down on lock, and he's running a tight ship there, and you just see how professional they are. I hate to say it, but Oilers, the guys coming in different cars and making it about stuff that if you win, no one cares, sure. Right? No one's going to say anything if you win. But if you lose, it's just like you saw Florida. You saw how dialed the guys were taping their sticks. When their camera was going to Reinhardt and panning into all their top dogs. I mean, they were so, when it panned to Bennett there, taping his stick, just so dialed, no joking around. And it just translated to the dying seconds of the game six there, yeah. Where Florida continued to just put that puck in the corner on the forecheck, dead in the puck, be first to those loose pucks, and just completely hemming in the Edmonton's end and finding the dead spots and getting to those and the just quick passing play. It was art. It was like Van Gogh out yeah. there. It just really was. So it's the coaching. I said on my show, the coaching, coach to coach, Florida, defense to defense, whether it's just depth or whatever, however you're looking at, and I know Bouchard is a ball player and super good. I get it, but just the depth everywhere. I said forward, like Drysdale, McDavid, there's obviously not much better, the sheer depth, Verhaeghe still doesn't get enough credit. I mean, he's just such a good player. And, you just got guys that got it done. I mean, you saw the point totals, the goal totals. It just everyone came to play. Marchand, I mean, he didn't go there just joining that team and taking a back seat. Exactly. He showed up, highlight reel goals. Everything came together. And I'm just, it doesn't feel... this way all the time because I don't get them right all the time.
Yeah. But this one right.
I got this one and I got to throw it out there and I got to feel good about it.
Let's go. And from a fan's perspective, yeah, I got to give a big shout out. First of all, Florida is just popping right now in the hockey world over the last, five plus years. My man DJ Genesis, shout out to you, man. He's the DJ for the Florida Panthers and got to get you on the show here soon. But what was the whole sentiment? Like, there's only six fans in Florida. Man, there was over 400,000 people at their parade yesterday, man. And so it makes me very excited to what other people and other markets consider these small markets. And even for our future, out here, we're considered small. Man, our fans are legit, and hopefully down the road we'll be partying like that. And I know we can go 500,000 strong, even more than that. I'm calling you out now, Ducks fans.
Well, let's go. Let me say something to your boy DJ Genesis. All right, enjoy it now. Enjoy it while it lasts, absolutely. Because you know what? We want that hardware here in SoCal.
Yes,
here,
sir.
And I'm not talking about those guys up the freeway. No. Right here at Honda Center, OC Vibe. Come on, bring the hardware here. So enjoy it now because it's coming.
It's
coming here.
Oh, let's go.
Enjoy
it
now.
Oh, man. Got me hyped up in the Korea studio right now. Other off-season activities. I gotta make a little shout to one of my favorite moments of the off-season so far. And I don't know if you guys really know this, but Emerson's a big reggae guy. And really to have discovered this over the last year or so, and so am I. And there was a festival recently out here in the LBC in Emmer's hometown, right here, Cali Vibes. And I actually had the pleasure of running into Emmer, of course, at the concert. And I'm gonna say, Emmer, you gave me a look, man. You gave me a look, and here's the thing. I think the look really alluded to, JoJo, how'd you get into VIP?
JoJo, you can't be creeping up behind me like that. I was about to take a bow. I was about to swing. You can't be coming up from behind, man.
Of course, we all know Ember's going to do it big. He's up in the VIP section. Look, I'm going to splurge a little bit too, okay?
I was almost
That's why he was surprised to see me there. He knows me to be more of a GA guy. But on this show, I decided to splurge, all right? That's why I saw you in the VIP.
I almost did a juice Superman punch. I wasn't ready. I didn't know. I was like, whoa. And then I was like, okay, it's JoJo. It's JoJo. It was so good seeing you. I am a huge fan of New Roots reggae.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Even going back, it's nothing new for me. I mean, this is going back 10 years. Blazed and Confused, Snoop Dogg,
yes,
Slightly Stupid,
yes.
Way back in the old, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, that was one of my first. And you know what? Ever since then, it's been a blast. But just day one fans of Tribal Seeds, Revolution. Speaking of, Stick Figure crushed it at Cali Vibes. Revolution. I've seen them over 10 times. That was definitely their best show. They get better and better. Landon McNamara.
Yes,
on the other stage. I've been getting more and more into him. Collie Buds, my main man. He's a day one or two. So I had so much fun, but I'm gonna pass the ball over to you. Who was your favorite band at Cali Vibes?
I'm a big Revolution fan. And even stepping away from the reggae a little bit, went and saw Ludacris' set over on the other stage.
Getting down and dirty.
Oh, absolutely. And even Kid Cudi, like that was cool. I mean, obviously those aren't super reggae, but Revolution is definitely my all-time favorite right now. And hey, they're gonna be running back. They're back here in Orange County, Orange Country, in October. So I better see you there as well. I won't creep up on you this time, you know. I'm not trying to get that Superman punch by Emmer here, but yeah, they're going to be running it back. So I'll see you at the show there. And here's the thing. Speaking of that, I honestly don't mean to sound like a sap here, Emmer, but I remember walking away and I was like, "Dang," I was talking to my wife. I was like, "Dang, that's cool, like to see Emmer here in his element in terms of the music he loves." In his hometown, right here in the LBC, man, Long Beach, like it was rad. And so it really brings me kind of to why, honestly, one of the biggest reasons why Emerson is on the show today is because, look, the NHL draft is coming back or coming through this weekend. It's back in Los Angeles. Let's rewind back 15 years ago, people. Right here when the draft was in Los Angeles, that was formerly the Staples Center, which I know a lot of people still argue that still Staples Center. That, yeah. But my man Emerson, the kid from Long Beach, the hometown kid, getting drafted that year, first round, 29th overall. I remember that was the first year I worked for the Ducks, and I started on June 10th that year, and so the draft was shortly after. And I remember, you know, watching the draft and, you know, seeing Cam get drafted, and then you and I. But what really stuck to me with you was like, oh wow, he's from here, you know. Is it cool if we kind of go back down memory lane on this?
It's your show.
Yo, let's do it, man. So here's the thing, like, yeah, we could kind of talk through it, but. You know, I think it'd be way better if you actually kind of saw it yourself. I even questioned too, like, when was the last time you even watched this footage back, the day you got drafted? It's kind of like watching your wedding video.
It's been a while. I couldn't, it kind of comes in and goes as far as, you know, something else I'm doing with the Ducks, right? So I don't think it's been too long, but every time I see it, I get taken back. I mean, what a time it was.
Yeah. I was expecting you to say like, sometimes before bed, I just kind of pop it on my phone real quick. You know, people like watch TikToks and stuff. Like I watch my own draft.
I'm forever grateful.
Absolutely.
For what a wonderful organization to have been a part of many times through, you know, being traded and then reacquired to now post career and yeah. just the big opportunities that, you know, they've blessed me with. So I couldn't be more stoked.
Full circle right here. All right, so let's check it out.
Anaheim is proud to select from Long Beach, California. Emerson Edom.
Even at this point, like, did you even have like even a sense that you're getting drafted by the Ducks at this point?
I think at this point, you know, I kind of had already been thinking that look, it just might not be my night, you know? Yeah. And but there's that belief that you're not going to fall to the second round, right? It's just that belief that, you know, what? I work too hard to put myself in a situation to be a first rounder for something like that not to happen. So, you know what? I kept believing till the very end. But yeah, I had a sense that when Bob, you know, right when he was about to open his mouth and address it, I just had this feeling that, you know what? The team right down the road for, you know, when I grew up training and watching and, you know, it seems like it's too perfect of an opportunity not to happen.
That.
Yeah. And you know what, it happened and boy, it's just what a moment.
I got asked too. I mean, even leading up to that, you know, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, just the process leading up to that day, the conversations, how deep were you with Murph and the Ducks, even other teams at that point? And, you know, at what point did it really turn? You're like, man, I want to play in Anaheim.
Well, first off, shout out to the ledge, Bob McKenzie, right? I mean, he's him during, you know, some of those old draft days. I just, even prior to me getting drafted, I mean, Bob McKenzie, his voice, you know, how he knew so much about the players, their history, where they played juniors or college or you know, European. He's forever just a legend. And so it's his one of many talents. Of course, he did other parts of hockey, but draft for me, you know, there's no better to fill that spot and announce these players fulfilling their dreams like Bob did. But, you know, for me, it was just, look, I knew that when I was first strapping up the skates, I had this belief that not only am I going to make the NHL, but I always had my main goal being a first overall pick. And I always tell the players now that, you know, I see around the rink these days, it's just like, you know, you shoot for the stars because a lot of times when you fall just short, it's going to still be pretty darn good, right? Like, wanted first overall, didn't get it. But look, first round, 29th overall, still pretty darn good, right? So that's always been my kind of philosophy. And it worked out there. And it just, it goes to show, you know, never stop believing, even when it comes down to the very last couple picks in the NHL draft or any respective sport, like, just never stop believing. And yeah, I just, from that point on, I worked hard and I always had to live up in anything I did to that standard of playing in the National Hockey League, right? And being that first overall pick, like anything I did, I remember this time I was, Lakewood Ice Rink B. There was this, he was Russian American, player. And a little undersized, but boy, was he good. Everyone talked about him, you know, being the top of kind of our age group. Every time we did these mountains, he would stop up short. And in this particular practice, I was stopping up short of each line like him because I wanted to be first, right? So I was trying to just cut corners. He was doing it. And, you know, my dad, after practice, he said, hey, never cut short again. Like, you know, I don't ever want to see you cut corners like that. Ever since then, like I never, cause it wasn't about necessarily me cheating all the time.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, I knew I was going to lose, you know what I mean? If I didn't cut corners like that.
Do.
So, you know, and then it's like, you stick to the process, you believe, and you just never cut corners. And from that point on, I 100% never cut corners. And, So I just having that mentality, not playing down anyone's level. If you know you're better than them, I think that's a big thing. So I carried all this stuff into my draft year, successful years at the development program for Shattuck for a couple of years, 1 year at the development program. And then I just, you know, I believe that I was going to, you know, be a high pick. And I just remember my draft year being acquired from the development program for the Tigers there. I had a big game in Kamloops. I scored 4 goals early on. And then I think that's when the chatter started, you know, really happening and you know, making it known to the draft landscape that, you know, I was going to be a high pick. And even the spring or summer before, Redline Report had me at like 15th or something like that. So I was already, you know, in that talk, but I just think the start there in the hat solidified it. And then I got to be honest, I had 32 goals up until the top prospect game. And I just saw a clip earlier of me and Cam in the top prospect game. He actually got, I think he got an assist. He had the breakout pass, beautiful pass to me. And I just ripped it shell, far side, top of the circles. It was just an unbelievable quick play on, I think it was shorthanded too. So anyway, it was good to see me and Cam there in the huddle there and being a part of just our journey towards getting drafted in the first round together. But I had 32 goals up until that top prospect game, scored in the top prospect game, was just riding an all-time high. And then only 5 goals from the top prospect game to the end of the season. It was more than past halfway mark of the year, but still just definitely declined in the goal score. Through and through, you know, was ahead of Nino. I think Niederreiter hit 36, if I'm not mistaken. I had 37, so I led the rookies in goals still. But, I probably should have been 40, 50 goals. Yeah. And I didn't even know that. So the crazy thing is I heard this because a team at the combine said, hey, you know, what was up with the decline in goals? I'm like, all right, 37 goals. Like, what? And he's like, you had 5 from, you know, top prospect game to, I'm like, whoa, I wasn't even prepared for that answer. And leading into my combine meeting with the Ducks, I just, you know, I came just sharp and clean cut. I remember Dad gave me a great suit that day, and I just felt I was well spoken and just really nailed it. I thought that was actually my best interview. So it's just everything came together, and it was just a great time for me from, you know, draft year, playing in the hat, combine, into draft day and beyond. It was all just spectacular.
Oh man, everything has to come together. Look, the success, of course, on the ice, but shout out to Dad, because without Pops, I bet you would have came in with a suit not tailored, your sleeves probably been too long,
like just normal grease ball behavior for me. So thanks, I know, Pops. That's a factor. Thanks, Pops.
You know, hey,
got me dialed for one day.
You gotta talk about, like, just, you know, how much more special it was just being in LA again, Long Beach kid, like the hometown kid. Obviously, it doesn't matter ultimately where the draft is, but that had to amp it up.
Oh, for
that
sure,
much more.
It's crazy here to think about it, because if I fall to the second round, it's still special, right? But it's like everything was set up to just, you know, me being ranked. I think it was I was ranked 8th with Central Scouting there for the North American Skaters for the final rankings. And that, it just puts in perspective, you know, we ranked 8th and then fall to 29. So just a big drop. And I think even Dave Bolin, similar, but he actually dropped to the second round. But he was, you know, projected first round, big drop. And, you know, we all know he had big years there with the Blackhawks. I mean, he was big time. Against us in all those late round series. And yeah, it just, you know, some of the guys, it doesn't work out for some guys, but, you know, in the end, it's about you know, there's great stories of late round picks,
yeah, just absolutely
crushing it. Oh, yeah. And you know, those are equal as good as stories. It just, you know, the draft is something special, you know, all around.
Yeah. When you go back to kind of your reaction, what way do you more so lean? Do you, when you look at it and you kind of reflect back at that moment, were you more like hyped at just hearing your name, or like more of like the side of like relief that you were still within the first round, not dropping into the second or more?
Yeah, look, I think it was going to be a blessing whether or not I was, you know, first round, yeah, second round, right? So, but, you know, definitely relief. It was, you know, because just the highs and lows of,
yeah, know, each name that you're hearing, you know, hey, it must have been stressful for sure, obviously.
Because L.A., they moved up in the draft. Mm. So they traded up.
Okay, yep.
I think they were early 20s. They trade up. They snag Forbert. So, but when they traded up, me and Bo Bennett were still available. So it was like, and everyone knew it. And the crowd was, oh, you know. Yeah, took Forbert. And, you know, Bo went to Pittsburgh there in the early 20s. I don't know if it was 22nd, 23rd. And then, 29th. And look, there's, you know, Charlie Coyle was around where Brock Nelson was around where I, and we had a great year. I mean, our year's one of the deeper drafts, you know, and, within the last, you know, 20, 30 years. I mean, it's a, you know, to have Taylor Hall, Sagan, just a numerous, I mean, even guys like Goodbranson just putting together great careers. So yeah, that, I mean, that was just a very deep draft. Tarasenko, just the list goes on and on, yeah, about quality players in that first round. And really, I mean, even Gallagher later round, you know, just, it was a draft that was deep from first round all the way to the Brendan Gallagher's later rounds. It was a fun time.
Let's go. And even going back to the video right now, when getting your call or your name called up, seeing some San Jose fans kind of stand up and cheer, and little did they know that, you know, a couple years later, not only would you make your NHL debut against the Sharks, but then later on that season, getting your first NHL goal against the Sharks. No,
Shark fans there? I didn't even know that. Yeah, sorry, man, to hear. You're just bringing it up now, and I was tuning them out. So now that you're dropping this, it's,
yeah, looking back at the video, like ever since, you know, like a couple Sharks fans jump.
Sharks
up,
like, yeah, fans, like, oh. Anyway, moving on.
15 years later, man, it's almost like a full circle moment. You're now obviously you're retired from the game, but not truly, because you've been doing amazing work with us on the Duck Stream side, you know, listening to you on the call with Steve the past couple of years has been so much fun. But now you're on the other side. Could this upcoming weekend, man, the draft is back in LA. You know, what is the kind of approach, I guess, now, again, being on this side, now analyzing these players? And I guess, like, yeah, what are the things, like, if you have the chance, or ultimately when you do have the chance to talk to our draft picks, like, what are the pieces of advice that you would give to them? And also kind of reflect back to, like, what is something that was told to you 15 years ago that you still kind of believe today that you want to, you know, kind of pass forward to new draft picks coming up?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know when your last, you know, time on the ice is, right? And just leave it all on the ice, whether it's practice or games. Because, look, whether you have a four-season career like myself, or you have a 20-plus-year career, it's, you know, you got to leave it all on the ice every single time. And so that would be my advice, you know, have success, have fun, and just you know, show up to work every day, just being grateful. And yeah, I just, there's no better feeling than, you know, working your entire life to achieve something and, you know, live it. And just to see people in the community come out to support, great fans here, always have been in Orange Country and in Anaheim. And just going back to the Pond days, it just, look, it's been a great giant family. And whether it was my area a little bit before or the era coming up and in present time, look, it's just going to get better and better and everything's elevated. And likewise, JoJo, just what you've done with the music and the venue and getting the fans just all vibed up. I mean, it's just everything. It's been a boiling pot of good stuff.
Yes, sir.
And it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Again, I felt like this was a special one for me because, again, you know, dating back to 15 years ago when we both first started here with the organization, obviously me just being kind of like a, you know, on the street team and getting people hyped up to you, obviously cracking the team, getting drafted here and seeing your career all throughout and now working together in this capacity, man, it truly is full circle, man. And make sure y'all tune in this weekend. Again, I know Emmer's gonna have a lot to say. He knows these guys, and look forward to seeing who we draft. And yeah, man, it's gonna be good. Like, just to kind of before that, like, is there anyone that you're kind of excited about in this draft that you'd like to, you know, like for the team to see and look into?
Well, first off, I'll send you a bill for the show. Second off, have you responded to my first bill for spinning it in that whole announcement there?
Oh, you show? Know what? Did I get an invoice for that?
I don't even know. You change your address or something? I don't know. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out after this, after the conclusion of this episode. We'll settle that.
Yeah, we'll settle that.
As far as this draft coming up, man, I tell you what. All I care about are the good guys.
Yes, sir.
That's all I care about at the end of the day, man. Right? And you know what? These other teams, the players, congrats to all of them. I mean, you know, what an accomplishment. But there's just guys sitting in the balance, waiting in the balance that, you know what? They're going to take your spot. Like those late round picks, I mean, they're hungry, right? They feel like, you know, some of these decisions, it didn't go their way. Teams kind of looking the other way or, you know, really believing them and just obviously, you know, scooping up a late round ball player. It's just draft. It's one of those times of the year that everyone gets excited about, you know, and you go Stanley Cup right into it. It's just so much fun. All the NHL awards. It's such a fun time. Free agency after that.
Yeah. What off season? Truly, there is no off season.
Exactly.
It really isn't.
Exactly.
It's not stop.
Exactly. So you know, going back to you know whether you know Misa or you know Schaefer. I these guys. It comes down to who's ready come training camp because it's just at the end of the day. Now you got the big dogs. Now you got the guys that are signed 8x8 and 14x8. You know that it just it's so tough. There's so much pressure, and yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Let's go.
It's like one big day. Enjoy it. Congrats to everyone. But at the training camp, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. But yeah, man, hey, dude, I look forward to seeing all your coverage on the draft and beyond. Because again, people, there truly is no off season, and that's why the shows keep coming, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. Spinning to Emerson. Appreciate you coming on the show, my man. And we'll see y'all next time. Let's go, Ducks. Orange Country, we out.
Pew.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.